You've never seen the movie?
Nope.
Okay, but
Let me
ask you this question.
Sure.
Have you seen Highlander 2?
No.
Okay, I got one more question for
you. Sure.
Have you seen Highlander 3?
No, why would I?
Final question.
Okay.
Have you seen Highlander 4?
Yes. Everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Edrick.
I'm Ian Boothby. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Ian.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Boy, I haven't seen you for
a dog's age.
Is that right?
Sure.
Sure. How much, like, one day is 7 days?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So for one
dog. That's absolutely accurate. One day. I haven't seen you for a dog's day.
That's right. So how long is a dog day afternoon?
A dog day afternoon would be 21 hours.
Okay. That's good math.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell the nice people about our questions?
Oh, well, everyone, if you're interested in hearing this, I don't think we've talked about it enough. We have a question and answer show coming up, our 250th episode. We seem to have done this every 50th episode, would that be right?
Sure.
50?
Yeah, if we were dogs, we'd do it every 150
episodes. 150 episodes.
350.
No, 350? Oh, that's right.
Seven times.
Yeah. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm dumb. Yes, so 250 episode is coming up, and what we'd like from you are questions that we can answer, or
questions that answers
that we can question.
Ah,
and thank you. And so you can contact us many different ways. One way, and I think probably the most used way so far, is this.
Hey, Dave.
That's right.
Hey, Dave, what's with the haircut?
That's usual.
That'd be an example.
I missed it. I think I forgot I had an appointment this week. Yes, you can contact us on email, which is sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. We also have a website, which sounds a lot like our email, which is sneakydragon.com. And you can also contact us on Facebook or Twitter @sneakydragon_sneakydragon. Wait, @sneaky_dragon. That's right, right?
Sure.
@sneaky_dragon. Our Tumblr page. People really haven't asked us any questions on those. It's mostly been emails, and that's great. It's fine. It's super great. If you want to write us, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com, and ask us a question. And this is your chance to run our show for us. You can decide the topic we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
You can ask us a question on that topic, and we will discuss that topic.
You can ask Dave to sing a song. He will have to sing that song on the air.
Well, that's not really an answer, but yes, I will sing a song on the air.
Yeah.
I don't do
say,
that
Say, Dave, will you sing Sweet Caroline?
Okay.
And then, bop, 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 he will.
Yeah. I'll learn the lyrics, and then I'll sing that song, because I actually don't know them. But, so that, I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a fun show. We already have some questions, but we need more. So make sure you answer. And I think we made this clear many times, but if you do send us a question, you will automatically get a grab bag of fun Sneaky Dragon items.
Yeah.
You will be eligible.
You know those, by the way, you know those bag, that bag that 2 episodes ago the dog was tearing up?
Yes.
That will be the grab bag we will give.
That'll be the grab bag.
You'll be grabbing the bag like the dog.
And every question asked is a raffle chance at our big prize, which is going to be for sure a t-shirt of your choice. And you can look at any image you want from our many title cards and choose one that you like. And we'll see if we can do it for you. Some of them, not so much. Just ask us and we can tell you if it'll work or not. And some other stuff. So that'll be like the main prize will be a shirt. And then anyone who asks a question also gets a comic book by Ian and I called the... I put together a little collection of our Werso Jar comics called The Bumper Book of Werso Jar. And it has all of our... comics that we did together.
Yeah, and I have removed those comics and replaced them with the complete Watchmen series. So you'll be getting the complete Watchmen series in there.
That's good. That's good. We'll find some other things to throw in.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. We'll find some stuff that's totally unrelated, but I want
to throw in some stuff that you're probably allergic to, some shrimp, peanuts, anything you find in Thai food. So when you're opening it up, it's a little bit of a risk for you.
Some bees.
Yeah, some bees. Throw a couple of live bees in there.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Listen for a buzzing sound. So there you go. I blew that in every way. And made
I had
it sound
a bee land on my hand 4 times while I was walking down the street the other day.
Was it a bee or was it a wasp?
It could have been a wasp.
Okay.
Possibly. It's tough to tell sometimes.
Is
but
it?
Like 4 times. Well, because by the time it lands on your hand, or like the back of your hand, and you go, wait, hey, fella, you a bee or what? You're just like, get out of here. But like 4 times.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know why my hand was so beautiful to this thing. It maybe looked like a beautiful flower. Maybe it was like outstretched and it looked like the petals, and it was like they were like, I'm going to pollinate that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking no for an answer. But yeah, four times.
Maybe you brushed against some flowers.
I ran away. I will not. I will not deny that I ran from whatever that was, because I went like, this thing's going to land on my hand more, and this is not going to go well.
You ran away
after four times of it landing on my hand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like by the fourth time, it's just like, screw it. We've got a relationship now. I'm bolting. So I ran like half a block to get away from the.
I got bit a little while ago by a wasp.
Oh, okay.
They do bite, right? They don't sting like a bee. Bees sting.
No, wasps sting.
Wasps bite.
No, wasps.
They bite. They have teeth and they bite you.
That's fine, but they also sting.
Well, the bite stings.
Are you just trying to get Gavin to write in?
Just trying to bug Gavin. Those striped bugs that bite you?
Yeah.
This is
our new segment. Let's bug Gavin.
Why do we?
Our insect expert.
Why do we say bite? Like I got bitten by a bee or bitten by a wasp.
Why do people say I got bit by a bee?
Yeah.
Well, no one does, so that's not an issue. How often have you said like
me?
You know I've been stung by a bee?
It's only
that's
me.
What
well,
people say.
Bee sting.
I've been beaten.
I know
I've been
that
beaten by a bee.
I know that bees sting, but I'm pretty sure that wasps bite.
Well, when they write something mean about you, that really stinks.
It does. It does stink as well. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yes. Wasps. Are you talking about white Anglo-Saxon Protestants writing bad things about you?
No, I'm talking about Janet Van Dyne, the partner of Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Nice. I don't even know who that is. I know who it is, but I don't know who it is, if you know what I mean.
I really don't know how you're putting that.
Well,
do you know who Ant-Man is or do you not, sir?
I know who Ant-Man is because I saw the movie.
Okay.
But I really don't know much about it other than the movie, which I feel like is not really the story of Ant-Man, but a made-up story.
It's the story
for
of
a movie.
Of
that's right.
Ant-Man.
An Ant-Man, not the Ant-Man.
Well, there's multiple Ant-Man, Dave. But the second Ant-Man, that is basically his story, which is he is a thief.
Yeah.
Though in the comic books, he breaks in Hank Pym's lab to get something because his daughter needs a heart operation, and so there's something important that he's got to get money together for the heart operation.
Okay.
So he says he's going to break into the lab, and in doing so, finds the Ant-Man suit that belongs to Hank Pym. He puts it on and ends up having to do something as Ant-Man heroically, and then Hank Pym goes, "You can be Ant-Man from now on." And he becomes a hero.
So that's the third Ant-Man?
Second.
Oh, second Ant-Man.
Yeah.
The original Ant-Man is Hank Pym.
Hank Pym, that's right.
The third Ant-Man is...
I forget his name. He was the irredeemable Ant-Man, and he was not necessarily a good guy. He was a guy who would like become Ant-Man and then watch ladies shower.
Really?
He'd do that kind of business, yeah.
Wow. I never realized the appeal of Ant-Man before.
That would be it.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
One of them. Not all of them. But that's one aspect of it that's... No, I'm just joking. It's totally weird, and I would never do that.
You would never shrink down and ride an ant? That
no,
is totally weird. You're
that is weird,
right.
But I would never shrink down and ride an ant into a woman's shower and watch her showering. That just seems awful.
Well, one, you shouldn't, obviously.
No.
That is awful to do.
Mm-hmm.
But also, two, okay, even if you... Let's say it was the 80s,
and if
we
they
were
saw
st-
you there, they'd get in the lather.
There you are. But let's say it was the 80s, when apparently it was fine to look at ladies in the shower. All movies seem to say one thing, which is, if you can see a lady in the shower,
do so.
We're fine.
Yeah.
And if you don't, what's wrong with you, buddy? So let's say it was the 80s. We're going to take you back.
What are
then.
You, some kind of...
Yes, exactly. Ant-Man. So you're an Ant-Man, and you've shrunk down, so now you can see ladies in the shower. Okay. Which, again, modern day would be terrible.
In the 80s,
it was mandatory.
Sure.
But what you're looking at, you're not watching a lady shower.
Yeah.
You're watching a horrific giant shower. You're seeing things
ooh,
from
like
a
pores
shrunken,
and
from a shrunken perspective that you shouldn't be seeing any of this.
Yeah.
Also, the steam is horrific for you, and probably just one drop of water from the ceiling is going to hit you like a bomb. It's just terrible.
Just one word, ladies. Depilatories.
Yeah, that's my last show. That's my last show, I think. I think I'm good.
I'm just saying, as from the Ant-Man perspective, you'd be like, oh, this is too much reality for me. I'm going back to normal size so things aren't so magnified.
Well, you could also become Giant Man. In which
oh,
case,
then
but then you're looking at like a little doll shower.
Yeah,
and
everyone
that's
would have
creepy
like
too.
Beautiful porcelain skin to you, though. Everyone would have like the nicest complexions.
Once again, let's just say the 80s were a very
weird
time.
I would look good
yeah.
to a giant. You'd be like, Dave, you have beautiful skin. Well, don't shrink down, I would say. Because you're in for a shock. Stay that size for
yep.
me.
Yep, that's the kind of thing
I like
be saying
your point
to,
of view. Would I be phoning him? How does he talk to a giant guy, by the way?
A giant phone.
Okay. So the giant, who had a giant phone?
A giant.
No, but there was like, oh, Bobby Bittman. That's who had the giant phone.
Yes. In the old SCTV things, he would he would pick up a giant phone
And talk to
hello.
Nappy.
And
talk to Napoleon.
Yeah,
or Nappy,
talking to Napoleon. That'd be correct. Yeah. The only justification for bringing this up is you've got to put that clip now on the web page.
Well, it's good, but it's just because I was just thinking the giant phone because you're talking to a giant,
right?
And then that made me think who had a giant phone because then it put in my mind the giant phone,
right?
That's all.
So it was Bobby Bittman. You're absolutely correct. There's a it wasn't on SCTV, but there was a documentary about Bobby Bittman that I believe it was on television. Have you seen it?
I think it was SCTV, but it was the HBO time, wasn't it?
Was it? They ran like the full... I thought it was a separate special that they did about Bobby Bittman.
Oh, maybe.
And it was
that's
a very
right.
dark kind
it,
of...
It wasn't. I think
you know,
it was like a... It was done for movie channel or whatever.
Yeah,
like
this
it was...
is Eugene Levy's character from SCTV. And yeah, you can see that on YouTube, and it's very good.
The greatest comedy show of all time.
SCTV?
Yeah.
Would you say it's better than Monty Python?
You know what? I think it's held up better than Monty Python.
Oh, really? Because Monty Python doesn't have timely references in it, whereas SCTV is peppered with quite a few timely references and impressions.
Yes, but a lot of them are kind of classic, you know, they're not really even timely at that time.
I would say
timely.
It holds up much better than, say, Saturday Night Live reruns, for certain.
You know, it's been a while since I watched Monty Python, and I've been sort of sour on it for a while, just because of all the post-Python things.
Yeah, you've got to take a break. You got to go back. You're going to look at it nice and fresh.
Yeah.
You're gonna go, ah, it'll be all right. And mm-hmm. you're going to go, oh, there's a lot of filler in here.
Is that right?
I think so. I think you will.
Have
clearly...
you watched it lately, or are you saying that you thought there was a lot of filler?
Yeah, and there is a lot of filler. There's
Define filler. Like if you're watching an episode.
Yeah, I can't like name a sketch which I'd call a filler sketch.
Okay.
But it would just be like a lot of
okay, one of those
around.
Things like, oh, officer, someone stole, I went outside and someone has stolen my something or other. And they both kind of stand there and then one goes, do you want to go back to my place?
It's probably
and they
my,
walk up.
That's probably my favorite Python thing ever.
Oh, is that right? So that's not filler to you?
No, that's probably my favorite Python thing ever.
Why is that your favorite Python
thing? I just love the acting in it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, do you want to go back to my place? Yeah, all right. Yeah, and that's the only Python thing I'll ever quote to you. But it was
do the whole
like,
parrot sketch
it was just,
for us.
It was just like a little quiet moment. And I was like, whatever. The timing's perfect. The acting's perfect. Great. It's just long enough. And it's an unexpected sketch. It's not the It was like you could see that kind of sketch being done by a Benny Hill or something with a big you know. It was like, no, the acting has to be real and quiet, and you're not making fun of the characters. It's just a fun, hilarious moment.
Okay, we can't talk about this because I'll just spend the whole show like going, oh, I love that episode with, I love the time that thing that, oh yeah, so I don't want to go there.
All right,
I think it's kind of boring for people to listen to people talk about other like a show. It's like people telling you their dreams, right?
Yeah, and you should spend time away from your favorite sketch shows and then go back to them later.
Mm-hmm.
I love Mr. Show, but you got to spend a little time away.
Yeah.
And then go back and, you know, again, you'll see a lot of stuff you like and you'll go, oh, I'm just remembering the great stuff.
Of course you do.
And the other stuff just goes whoosh out of your head.
You're right.
And that's the problem with when people watch something like a Saturday Night Live now is because you're remembering, oh, Saturday Night Live used to be so good. That sketch.
Does
then, that
anyone
sketch,
think
then,
that?
That sketch. Then that sketch. And then you watch it now and just go, oh, that's a lot of filler sketches. And it's like, well, yeah, but it was always a lot of filler sketches. And whatever era you're talking about, let's sit down and watch 90 minutes of that. And you tell me how many hits are in each one. There's a lot of great people.
I've never been a big fan of Saturday Night Live. And mostly, I think, possibly, maybe, because I've seen it when I saw it during its worst times, basically when I was old enough to start watching it, which was kind of the tail end of the original cast.
Okay.
When they would do like the 50-minute long cheeseburger sketches and stuff like mm-hmm. that, which are very dull. And then I saw the
Gilbert Gottfried season.
Is he on that? Well, Charles Rocket and those people.
Yep.
And then the Gene Numanian season. Which is pretty awful. And then I always felt like, and then when like some of the SCTV people went there and you're like, oh, Tony Rosato and Robin Duke are going to SCTV. Well, this will be great. They'll really do really well in that. And just chew them up and spat them out.
Yeah.
And
though at that point, that's when Eddie Murphy took off and it was a one man show basically for a couple of seasons there. Yeah. With Joe Piscopo
like...
along for the ride, but only really servicing, you know, the Eddie Murphy stuff.
Yeah. And I just felt like, I just didn't really do anything for me. And I wasn't a huge Eddie Murphy fan either. So that didn't really... I don't know. It's something about it that didn't.
Yeah. Which then led into the one season that was like a very different season.
Weird.
Which was the
Anthony Michael Hall, Robert Downey Jr.
No. This is before. This
is that
then.
Okay?
Because this is still the Dick Ebersol thing.
Okay.
So Julia Louis-Dreyfus is still there.
Yeah.
Gary Kroger is still there.
Okay.
Jim Belushi is still there. They're the holdovers from previous.
Okay.
But then you got
Christopher Guest.
Yeah, you got Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer.
Harry Shearer. Yeah.
Pamela. I want to say
Billy Crystal.
Pamela Martin. Yeah.
Pamela Stevenson from Not That 9 O'Clock News.
That's
once again another real great talent who was kind of spat out of this.
Who
the
just
whole thing.
Did, yeah, was able to do boob jokes. Rich Hall.
Well, she has boobs.
She does, but you can do more jokes than those. And then Rich Hall.
I don't think she wanted to do boob jokes. I think that was her only entree into the show was to do boob jokes.
Yeah, which is a shame.
Which is a shame.
But it was a very interesting season where it seemed they were more interested in doing film stuff than the live stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the live stuff had a lot of improv in it.
You know what would be painful? Where were the two, like Billy Crystal and Christopher Guest would do that sketch with the two guys. Oh, you know what I hate? That's what it was.
Yeah, and then it's talking about something horrifically painful or whatever. And it was like, yeah, it's just an improv scene. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But people loved it. And it's the You Look Marvelous. You watch that now. Right. Try to get through that. It doesn't work anymore.
Once again, I was not a huge Saturday Night Live fan. I think to me, and I know it's a fake intellectualism like Monty Python, but it felt smart to watch Monty Python. And it's felt smart to watch SCTV. You know, a parody of Ingmar Bergman that's shown on a midnight movie, like horror show.
Yeah.
Like, that's great on so many levels that it appealed to a little teenage smarty pants elitist snob, you know, much more than you know, the For the People Saturday Night Live did, where, you know, it seemed very obvious. And it just seemed to be a lot of the same jokes every week.
Well, it was coming out of the roots of Second City, right? So Second City always considered
itself. Weren't both shows, though?
Okay, but SCTV.
I got him on that one, didn't I, everybody?
No. So obviously, like, Second City was the name of SCTV. So, you know, that was the more direct thing.
Yeah.
But they would, you know, they would try to do the intellectual scenes or at least wrap a simple scene in an intellectual blanket.
Yeah. I mean, it's a, like I say, you, it feels intellectual, right?
So you're doing the parody of Jane Eyre called Jane Airhead.
Yeah.
But you're doing it so you can do a whole bunch of, Andrea Martin can do a whole bunch of physical shtick.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're not really poking holes in, you know, Jane the
Eyre,
structure
yeah.
of Jane Eyre.
That's right.
It's just, yeah. it's just a gag,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a way of hanging a gag.
Yeah.
And that's what you learn at Second City. Yeah. It's like, don't actually do an intellectual scene. God help you for that. but like, make people think they're watching an intellectual scene.
Yeah.
They'll all feel good about themselves.
Sure.
And there you go.
Scenes from An Idiot's Marriage, where it's Jerry Lewis gags
put
onto an Ingmar Bergman
Absolutely.
Sandwich, you know, and it, you know, there's no Ingmar Bergman there, except in the way it looks, you know.
Though, by God, the one thing about SCTV is, did any show up its values, like production values, more than that show? You watch the first season.
Oh, I know, the first two seasons.
And the wobbly walls and the horrible laugh track, you know, that would come in during setups.
Yeah.
You know, just like, oh, it's so terrible.
Well, they were pre-laughing. They're chuckling in anticipation.
Right. And the music was just the worst. Mm-hmm. And then you go from there to, as you say, scenes from An Idiot's Marriage, was it? Yeah. And you're just like, well, this looks like the things you're parodying. And then the makeup they did, you know, it's like you made Joe Flaherty look like Alan Alda. Who does an Alan Alda impression? That's insane. And that same guy in the same show is like Quincy.
Yeah.
It's like, how'd you make that mug? Because Alan Alda doesn't look like Quincy, but you've found the base of this guy's face that will lend it to that. It was just this amazing caricature work they did in makeup that they could never really do in Saturday Night Live, maybe for time.
I think time is part of it.
Except possibly during that one Billy Crystal season that we're talking about, where they were able to shoot all the...
do a lot of film, yeah.
But I think the thing about that Billy Crystal season was they were trying basically to do SCTV. So you had Martin Short doing the same stuff he did on SCTV on Saturday Night Live. Plus, you know, the very first sketch they ever did on that season was relatives of the rich and famous. So it was
a parody of a TV show.
It was a parody of a TV show, but it was the angle was, so it's just people, it's like you can do your impression, but not great, but just enough.
Yeah.
But then they do the makeup so perfectly, and it was like, oh, that's, but it didn't feel like Saturday Night Live because the makeup was so gorgeous. Okay. It looked like SCTV.
Well, the other interesting thing about SCTV to me is the fact that it was filmed, well, first season was filmed in Toronto.
Wasn't it filmed in Edmonton the first season?
No.
Was that
they moved to Edmonton for... after that season.
Okay.
And so I think that they got to tap into a talented population that didn't get much opportunity mm-hmm. to do that, something like that, right? So you had this, you know, kind of little, what's the word I'm looking for? This kind of little kind of, oh, summer theater, mm-hmm. like stock, summer stock, you know, like this, but there's an incredible amount of talent there, but just not explored well, because of where they were located.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're looking at the origins of SCTV and Saturday Night Live, a lot of it comes from Godspell, which is the big the big show they were doing there at the time. And almost everyone from both of those casts, that you go, oh, that.
But I'm not talking about the actors. I'm talking about the people who worked on the show, like the makeup and costumers.
Oh, I see,
that. They didn't come from Toronto. They were drawn from the Edmonton,
right?
You know, theater scene and stuff like that. Those people came to start working on the TV show. And so you had these people who had never got to shine before. And so they just put their hearts and souls into this show just to say, look what we can do. You know, here's our chance to do something.
Well, there's something about Edmonton as well that I'm
cold.
It's cold. I'm going there. I think it's September 20th, something like that. I'm going to whatever Edmonton.
Where are your Long Johns?
Edmonton Fan Expo in September. I don't think it'll be Long John weather at all in September.
They live in igloos there, sir.
All right, fine. And I'm looking forward to it. But something I've always kind of admired about Edmonton is it's just had this real intense art scene mm-hmm. for as long as I remember. Like
okay.
The Edmonton Fringe Festival has been known as like having the second best fringe festival after Edinburgh, which is like pretty amazing.
Well, the name's quite similar.
Yeah, they all just get confused. Yeah, that's a problem. That's okay. You write it too quickly, and then all of a sudden you end up at Edmonton by mistake. But there's groups there like Rapid Fire Theater. You know, a former guest of the show, Mark Meir, is part of that.
Yeah.
And they just put so much effort into their comedy shows. Mm-hmm. I think it might just be because you're kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So you put it all in. The show I work, I write for, The Irrelevant Show, comes out of Edmonton. They just put so much work into it. And it feels like that was the case with, you know, SCTV as well. It's like, what else are you going to do? Work on your show and make it great.
That's it. I mean, that's... Yeah.
You want that kind of thing. You don't want it so mm-hmm. isolated that, you know, you can't get vegetables, but you want it, you know, not distracting enough.
Yeah.
Maybe like New York, where you'll be doing other shit. And maybe you go like, hey, you know what's better? Drugs. Let's go party all night. You're not going to party all night in Edmonton.
And I remember being excited when...
It's at Phil's house.
I mean, SCTV was... I mean, probably my favorite season is the CBC season, the half-hour shows where Bob and Doug were introduced and stuff. But I also loved it when they moved to NBC, and it was a weird case of where a show mm-hmm. did not fall apart. Going, one, becoming bigger, like bigger budgeted, you know, now you're on NBC instead of a little show on Canadian television. And then it went from a half hour to an hour and a half. And you're like, how are they getting enough material to fill? But, you know, they were smart about it. They put in like recurring jokes then.
Yep.
Like they had the days, these are the days of the week, which was like a parody of a soap opera.
So you can shoot all that stuff in a row.
Yeah. And what was great about that was that it was so true to itself. Like it wasn't really that funny, but it was kind of engrossing because you kind of got into the story.
One of the nice things too is, and this, you know, when I was watching that, I was like, oh, this is so smart because these are so slow.
Yeah.
And there's that slowness of just like, what? So it was you.
Yeah.
Looks. Yeah.
Wasting time.
filling time.
But yeah. And when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this isn't that great. It's not the best thing ever. Like, you know, I'll watch it, but it's not, I don't really like it. It's like not going to be my favorite part of the show. But over time, you kind of got into the story more than you thought you would. And you're enjoying, you know, the Rocco pretending to be the long lost son of this woman. Yeah. And it's so patently obvious. It's so, Joe Flaherty, so good. And, you know, Andrew Martin is the dumb maid in the house. And just everything worked, you know. And then the Rick Moranis is the rock musician who's dying, is it? Was he dying in that? I can't remember now.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But every woman he met was like, you're a real special girl. You're a real special girl.
And then,
you know, really, I'm glad that my music can turn on special girls like you.
And then there is the wedding episode where Bill Murray had a cameo in it. Mm-hmm. And this is such so good. We're boring people talking about shows. Once again, we're boring people talking about things that we like about a television show. But it's hard to... Yeah, I'm on the fence. I have to say, like, to me, Monty Python and SCTV are both very special. So just because you were little, you know, and there was so much that was boring and dumb when you were growing up. And so it was so great to find something that wasn't boring or dumb.
Well,
it's
something that said other things were bullshit, which was always nice.
That's part of it, but just also exciting. I mean, my first exposure to Monty Python was being at a friend's house. We were just laying on his bed watching he had a TV in his room, which which I wasn't allowed to, so it was pretty special. And we're just idly flicking through the channels, and we came to the very last part of this Monty Python show, which involved the pantomime horse fighting the pantomime Princess Margaret.
Yep.
And we were just killing ourselves laughing because we were little boys, you know, so we're like grade five boys finding this crazy mayhem, you know, and it was just like so smart and kind of subversive in a way, and, you know, with Jacques Cousteau joining the fight and just craziness.
As a kid, you knew you were watching something that was adult.
But also
maybe you shouldn't be watching.
I guess so. But also it just seemed so crazy, you know, and then so then you're like, well, I've got to find, how do I see the show again? What is the show? You know, like I, you know, because we just happened upon it. We didn't plan to watch it. And then
if something
can that happen now? Can you accidentally stumble on something great on television?
Well, I think you can stumble upon things on, say, you know, Netflix or whatever. You know, I think there's
But you have to make a choice to watch it. You can't just
turn
to that channel and find it, right?
Well, often they'll do a thing like, you know, if you like this, you might like that.
Oh, well, that's always Narcos, though. So it's not like...
that is true.
You know,
no,
it's
but there's
not...
been some there's been some British things or Australian.
But I'm not saying
comedies.
British or Australian. I'm just saying anything. Like even finding like the Marx Brothers. Once again, I just... My friend and I, same friend, were similar situation, watching television. We flicked on to not the best Marx Brothers film, A Night in Casablanca, which is kind of a later one from their kind of lower budgeted period. But it's still Marx Brothers. It still has some good gags in it. It still has these sort of alluring characters. And we thought it was brilliant. We thought it was great. We wouldn't have chosen to watch it, though. Like if we were on Netflix and it was like a black and white movie from the 1940s called The Night of Casablanca, there's no reason for me to watch it. And so, you know, it was just happenstance that we stumbled upon this film. You know, maybe I would hear from people and they'd be like, oh, well, if you like this, you'll love
People don't flick channels anymore.
What's that?
They don't flick channels.
No, that's
what
I mean.
Scan.
So you don't have that opportunity of accidentally finding something.
What you do scan, though, is on Netflix.
I love how you love Netflix so much, but I disagree with you.
No,
that,
no, it's the same
what have
thing.
You found accidentally on Netflix that was
it
great?
It was an Australian show, and I forget what it was called, like Danger 7 or something.
Okay, yeah,
but
yeah.
It was,
but that was on Netflix because we saw that before Netflix existed.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You had video of it or something like that we watched before.
The one where they're trying to catch Hitler every time?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But okay, I agree that probably I did.
I thought you had like a bootleg, I shouldn't say that, but you had like a DVD of this collection.
Oh, I don't know. Possibly, but okay. I didn't remember it when I saw it on Netflix.
Okay.
And so I was going down and like you do the old scanny scan.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of seeing a couple of seconds of video, what you do is you just see the picture.
Yeah.
And the picture, you know, changes every so often. And you go like, oh, yeah, let's try that. And so that's the way I'd say I'd stumble upon things now. Or on YouTube, you know, they also have a very similar function, whereas if you look up something, it will show you something else. And just recently I stumbled upon Harmon Quest, because I was looking up something else about Dan Harmon, and I had never heard of Harmon Quest, and it's a D&D show. Where he and Paul F. Tompkins is on the first episode.
Okay.
And I'm like, what the heck is this? Oh, let's watch that. Oh, this is great. Okay, well, I gotta hunt these down. So I mean, I did that last week, and it was like, oh, there's a
but
lot
but you're
of people
still
I like.
Watching someone that you already know. You're not finding something that you've never heard of. You're just finding another show by a guy that you like his products.
Well,
so you've
I didn't
seen
know
Rick and
anything
Morty.
About
you've
this
seen
Danger
Community.
7 show. Like,
yeah,
I've
yeah.
Never...
No, that's an example of that.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's less likely in the way that we watch media now that we're going to have these stumble upon moments where you're just like, what?
Are the stumble upon moments necessary when you have such a plethora? It's like saying you stumble upon a type of food, you know, that you've never had before, right? And you go, oh, this is delicious. I've never tried mango. But like, you know, we live in a place where you go to the supermarket and mango's there with all the other things you like. And you're not going to stumble upon it. It's just you've seen it. It's there. You have a choice of trying.
Yeah, but you're not. The way you would stumble upon mango isn't it looking at it in a store. It's you were at someone's house and they served it and you ate it with something else.
That could
and you
be.
Went, oh, I really like this mango.
Or I'm it's summertime, living is easy.
I'm not an adventurous person who's going to go time. Buy a mango on
I don't
spec.
Think it's, I don't think it's that adventurous to buy a mango. I think like if you're
yes, it is.
Yeah, no. If you're at a produce aisle,
I'm a dyed-in-the-wool apple eater.
And I'm
eater.
Like, oh man, I love grapes. Get me some grapes.
Yeah.
Oh, there's my bananas. Get my bananas.
Yeah.
And then like next to the bananas is a mango.
Yeah.
I would possibly go.
No.
You know what? They've put this fruit next to these other things I like.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them.
Sure.
This is clearly popular enough
that
people like mango.
Sure.
I should try a damn mango.
Yeah.
So I'll try a mango and see how that goes. You would not do that? You would not?
No.
I do that
no,
with
I wouldn't
cheese.
Do that.
I'll see like a cheese I've never seen before and I'll buy a cheese.
Once again, no.
Well, there we go. I just go, oh,
there's some cheddar cheese there. I'll buy them. Get my cheddar.
But you like what you like. I mean, I think I'm more of a... Yeah, everyone likes what they like. I'm more looking for the next thing kind of person, possibly. Whereas you're, I enjoy the things I like.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go here and I'm going to nom, 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 nom. And I'm going to watch the shows that's I like. True. And I'll be eating a block of cheddar cheese with a knife while watching Rockford Files. I said good day, sir, on my rotary phone. Click.
I do like the Rockford Files, everyone. That's very true.
And a block of cheddar cheese.
I do still think the Rockford Files is one of the best TV shows ever made.
Yep, still holds up.
For sure. All
do
these
you know
years
what,
later.
The other night, well, here's the thing. We've been watching MeTV, as we mentioned last time on the show.
Really? Last week when we were talking last week?
Yeah, Memorable Entertainment Television, which is the oldies station. Sure. And so a while back, I got a hankering for Columbo. And there was no Columbo on TV. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I'm stumbling.
You stumbled upon
Columbo. Though I know what Columbo is, so it's not a true stumble. I'm like, oh shit, Columbo's on at 3 a.m. I'm going to set a series record for Columbos. Yeah. So I'm watching Columbos. Yeah. So now me and my wife are hooked on Columbos.
They're great.
Well, I don't know. They ran out of Columbos or what. But now we're on MacLeod.
Yeah, MacLeod isn't as good as
Columbo. It's not as good. But
we talked about that when Mike Roberts was on the show. That series, the NBC mystery movie series.
Right. So, but this week, so I'm like, I don't think I'm going to record MacLeod. This is no good. Then I checked to see what MacLeod's about.
Yeah.
MacLeod versus Dracula. Yep. Yep. Tape, 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 super tape, 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 tape. Yeah, let's see what this is all about. Yeah,
interesting.
Wasn't as good as you would think.
No. Well,
but they had the episode...
Combination Night Stalker with a cowboy.
Yeah. It was like... Well, you know what I think? There must have been like a Dracula movie or something out at the time and they were trying to connect with it.
Sure.
So there was a guy... There was two things happening. It's a confusing plot. One
Maybe
was...
the Frank Langella Dracula?
Oh, boy. It was very Frank Langella-esque, the guy. Mm. But I don't think it was Frank Langella.
No, I'm just saying. But there was a Dracula with Frank Langella, I believe, as Dracula.
Oh, possibly.
In the 70s. So.
By the way, we were watching... My wife and I were watching it. And so...
Really nice hair, Dracula.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Smooth. I'm about to say something not totally disturbing, but semi-disturbing. So
okay,
prepare for
everyone?
It. So we're watching the opening of the MacLeod with the credits rolling.
Yeah.
And MacLeod is talking in his car to this partner, see?
Yeah.
And he's talking about... You know, how he's bored of city life and it's not a thing. And so they cut to, they say, nothing exciting ever happens. They cut to the Twin Towers. Something should happen here to really just shake things up a bit.
Oh.
And then they go to the next thing. And the thing that's shaking things up a bit is not a vampire. So you think vampire to start.
Sure.
Not vampire to start.
Not a vampire.
Sniper to start.
Ooh.
There's a sniper in the city.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other plot.
That's scary.
Yeah, so a sniper's just like taking people out.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's a vampire on the street who's draining people blood dry. Do you think they're ever going to explain?
Draining people blood dry.
Blood dry.
I like it. You've invented a new...
And MacLeod's doing a lot of this with a medical examiner. What do you mean it's drained blood? Makes no sense.
Yeah.
No sense at all. It's like, I'm just telling you the facts. All your facts are fucked up, you fuckface. I shouldn't even be swearing like this back in a 1970s TV show, you fucking sprout. Don't make me fucking kick your ass. And like, well, MacLeod, you're really out of line. Fuck you. I'm fucking MacLeod. There's a sniper in the thing, and I can't wait for 9/11.
Where's my horse?
So anyway, long story short, there's an actor who plays Dracula, who's been killing people, Dracula style. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there's a sniper. And they never explain how this old man is able to drain all the blood, but it's one of those that ends with, and I said to Pia halfway through, if this is one of those, or is he, episodes, I'm going to be pissed off. Well, I was pissed off, because it looked like at the end he turned into a bat and flew the fuck away.
Okay.
So MacLeod's a big pile of shit fucking end, and that crap never happened to Columbo, some bitch. Yeah, upsetting.
Yes.
Columbo never had anyone turn into a goddamn bat. And fly off and like, maybe it was. Maybe
to be
was.
To be authentic, that show should alternate them between all of the different shows that they like. McMillan and Wife one week, MacLeod the next, Columbo the next. Yeah. I believe Mike brought up the Snoop Sisters, which I've never seen.
No.
Banachek was one, though.
Let me say what I now yell at the TV.
Okay.
Hey, you, get off your MacLeod. There, that's what I yell.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rockford Files, great show. No, you're right about me. I am a person who likes what I like.
You found what
but
you
like? But it's not like that about music, and though. Stop. I'm not like that about music. I do like to hear new music and stuff like that. But I have ways, I have my ways of hearing new music, you know, and it's not going to YouTube.
Yeah, it's going to young people's homes and listening through their windows.
I make them sit on my lap, and they play the music for me.
Tell me what you like music-wise.
Listen, tell me what's going on.
Tell me the top four.
No, I don't want to hear what kids are listening to because most of them are boring. They're the same as teenagers I knew when I was a kid. Boring. So I don't want they like saxophone.
We're not having another episode of Sax Bash. No.
It's good in Baker Street. Baker Street, that's a classic bit of sax there. That's good sax playing. I mean, there's good sax playing. There's a sax in Gocho, the Steely Dan song Gocho.
There's Baker Street. There's Butcher Street. There's Candlestick Maker Street.
Yep.
None of those hold a candle.
Two.
Except possibly Candlestick Maker Street. That literally does hold a candle to Baker Street.
Baker Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just... But at some point in the 80s, this saxophone became
we're off on sax.
But anyway, sorry, you brought it up, not me.
No, I did not, sir.
Yes, you did. You brought it up.
I did not. You know what I think ruins
I wish you wouldn't bring up saxophones.
I think what ruins saxophone for everybody?
Oh, okay.
Lisa Simpson.
No.
I think every time now, if you say saxophone to a kid, they just think saxophone, and they think Lisa Simpson.
Yeah.
And is no longer, as I said last week, shirtless men, muscular men playing saxophone, or even men down under but of men because... at work playing saxophone. It is now Lisa Simpson playing saxophone, and now that is no longer a thing, and so saxophone has died.
But the saxophone has died because there's nowhere for people to stumble on the saxophone.
It's a nerd instrument because of Lisa.
But no one's going to hear someone, like, no one's going to
stumble across a saxophone.
They're not going to stumble across, like, John Coltrane or something like that. There's nowhere for them to hear John Coltrane that they're gonna like go, oh, this is different, this is interesting. This is nowhere, no place for that to happen. There's no radio that plays jazz. There's no radio that plays classical music anymore practically.
Well, I mean, there's, if you want to listen to jazz, you just like put on Spotify and go,
but you don't
jazz.
Do that though. No one does it because they feel like
dads
it.
Dads do. Dads listen to it, maybe go, here's some jazz.
They might not be into jazz. There's lots of kids who will never hear jazz in their whole lives.
Yeah, well, they're lucky. We had to put up with jazz.
I like jazz.
All right.
I like jazz.
Of course,
jazz.
You're old-timey.
I'm not that old-timey.
You're the block of cheddar cheese watching Rockford Files.
I can listen to jazz. To Dave Brubeck. I can listen to some new band.
But you won't change your cheese.
If I taste a good cheese, I'll have it.
How are we going to stumble across a good cheese?
Because someone like Lisa will buy cheese, and then I'll try it, and I'll be like, oh, it's pretty good. Or never bring goat cheese in this house again. That's what I say. No more goat cheese.
All right.
Get that Chevre out of here.
Okay.
Fucking throw it in the garbage can. I don't care what it costs. Get it out of here. Out. Don't even argue with me.
Okay.
Don't use
Old
it again.
Statements.
Don't use it again.
All right.
I don't want to taste it in chicken.
What?
No.
Why not? You don't like...
Ugh.
Okay.
Do not like goat cheese.
Hmm.
I don't mind feta in small doses.
When you...
But,
when you... Okay, here's my suggestion to you.
I like it salty.
One day when you retire... Okay. Let me just say what
I'm on the Freedom 95 plan.
What gentleman?
So what
no,
happens.
But you will at some point. What gentleman retire?
Yes.
You're gonna grow your hair a little long because that's
and a beard.
Do. Beard. Yep, that's the goal. Usually, then the wife goes, "Knock it off with the beard. You can keep the hair. Knock the beard off. I don't need that.
Yeah,
rubbing against me.
What is that about growing your hair long when you retire?
It's just because you can.
I guess
your boss
isn't
going. Don't do it.
It's not just laziness.
No.
You don't want to go to the barber anymore.
Let me throw this at you at that point.
Okay.
At that point.
Don't throw cheese at me.
No, but I'm going to throw cheese at you. Okay. I'm going to go now. Don't.
Yeah.
Do that because this is serious.
Sure.
Guys, I've probably never been more serious on the show. Don't just eat the fucking foods you've always been eating.
Why not?
Not because they're fatty. Not because of this. Not because you're not going to be moving as much.
How about
because
you enjoy them?
Yeah, but you don't. You're just used to them. You enjoy them fine. Yeah. Whatever.
Them.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Okay, here's what you want to do.
Okay.
Here's what you want to do.
Slowly poison
one,
yourself
no,
with
no,
garbage.
No. At least one or two days a week.
Yep.
Have an expand your palate day.
Mm.
Yes! And eat some fucking food you are not used to. Listen to some music that's new. Eat some food you're not used to. And or go to a movie that you would not normally go to, maybe like a foreign film or something.
I like foreign films.
But I'll tell you, just the simple thing of the food thing
will
be so good for your brain having new things. Because what happens is the older folks, they just keep eating the same thing and doing the same thing. They get into a rut and everything just goes. And then no, keep your brain going. Keep your brain going. Eat like some new cheese. Kill a new animal, eat it, try some turtle.
I don't think I'm a food person like you, though.
Okay, but...
I'm not a food person like you're not a music person.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just an energy person. Like, I just need stuff in me so I can go over there. Mm-hmm. I don't eat it and go, oh, this is delicious. I can't. How do you make this? I have to go home and make it. I don't think that way.
Except with pies.
Pies are great.
But you basically know pies.
I love pies. But I will only make a couple different pies. It's not like I'm going to go make a raisin pie. Okay. That's gross.
All right. But it'd be good to learn how to make different pies. It's just good for your brain. Keep your brain going. What I'm saying is keep it expanding. Okay. But like keep the senses going.
I thought you were supposed to do like crossword puzzles.
But you're already doing crossword puzzles. I know. So that's not new. You gotta mix it up.
That's what makes your brain...
No. You know this is the same thing with exercise, right? Like what they say, which is like you can't just do the same exercise over and over again or your body gets used to it. You gotta freak out and trick it. And then do something a little different. Mix it up.
That's right.
So you can't like just keep doing
crossword.
Sometimes
when I'm working out, I wear a mask and it scares my body.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck?
And yeah, you're wearing your Guy Fawkes mask.
I wear my anonymous mask.
Yeah.
It says, oh my God, it's going to dox me. My body gets all scared. Yeah, yeah. That was a modern reference, everyone. Thanks
See?
Very much.
There you are.
See, I switched it up.
I mean, I think like, here's the thing. Doing things like doing a podcast
yes.
when you're, you know, late 40s, early 50s. That's how old we are. Live with it.
I sound so much younger.
Because you have to learn new things. Mm-hmm. You learn new things and that's good. You need to learn to work new equipment, try something different.
We never talk about the past on this show.
We do, but we do it into equipment that's new and in a way that's whatever.
Okay, yeah.
You know? I mean, if you're learning guitar for the first time and you're singing about the past, that's fine too. But yeah, you're learning new stuff. You're learning how to draw on a computer screen instead of drawing with a piece of paper.
Are you learning to do that?
I am actually trying to learn how to Manga Studio now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to do a series of short CBC stories.
Okay.
For my past, yeah.
Sure, sure.
Oh, dude, I am pitching so much shit right now. It is ridiculous. I'm so... Here's what's happened lately. Besides, I'm going to just say this. Let me just get this out.
Yeah, get it out.
A big part of my life right now is giving subcutaneous, I want to say if I'm saying that right, fluids to my cat.
Okay.
I've learned how to do that now. My cat has a...
So you have an IV?
Yeah, has a chronic kidney disease.
Okay.
So every 2 days, I've learned how to use a hypodermic needle.
Yep.
Insert that underneath a little... you just make a little tent mm-hmm. with the back of the cat's, you know, rough.
Yeah.
And in there and give fluids and do that with my wife.
And is that easy? The cat doesn't mind this?
Yeah. It's...
Because, like, you know...
There's been tricks...
Stereotypically or archetypically, a cat will freak out.
When a needle is present,
yeah.
right. But because, you know, when you pick up a cat by the scruff of the neck... It's pretty okay, you know. Normally,
is that right?
That's like how their moms pick them up.
Is that right? So that acts as like a calming thing.
A little
for
bit,
them?
Yeah. So you give them a little rub on the back of the neck, and then you make a little tent.
Interesting.
Then you put the needle in, which sounds like, oh my God, this is the hardest thing in the
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know, yeah, you've got an IV.
When you put it through your finger.
I've done that.
Okay.
Yeah. When we first learned how to do this,
yeah.
There's a reason that I'm bringing this up.
There was
right
more
now.
Of your blood than the cat's
yeah,
blood?
Yeah. There's a reason, yeah. by the way. There's a reason I'm talking needles. I'm sorry if people are needle phobic out there. There's a reason I'm bringing this up.
Don't go into the forest.
Do not go into the forest because of the pine needles?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, when we first learned to do it at the vet, they tell it to us and they're like, oh boy, this seems like this will be impossible.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay. I watched some videos and I'm like, yeah, this seems all right. And then, of course, first thing I do is I stab my finger blah, 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 all over the place.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we have to do a big cleanup and then my wife takes the needle. She stabs herself blah, 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 blah. And we look like a Peckinpah movie by the end of it. Ridiculous. We're like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
But so little by little, we've been learning how to do this. It's tricky, but once you get into it, you figure it out and you're good. We're to the point where now we also, there's a little port and we add a B12 shot as well. So
okay.
we take like a hypodermic needle,
okay.
not put it into the cat, put it into
sure.
the port due to that. And yeah, you do that for about 5 minutes. You watch the fluid drain. It fills the cat like a little camel almost. Usually a little hump comes on the back.
Wow.
Take it out. And then the fluid then, you know,
makes
goes
its way
goes
in,
and
around
makes
the cat.
Its way in. And yeah, the cat's, you know, it's good for the cat's kidneys and it's...
Okay, so is this like...
It's a real life prolonger.
So is it a medicine that you're giving or
There's no medicine in it.
So it's just a liquid, like a saline fluid, and then it's just helping to filter, it goes through the...
Yeah.
It's like clean or
something? Yeah, and it's also hydrates. Yeah, it does
sure,
the whole thing. So I mentioned this like online. Well, it turns out almost everyone I know has done this with their cats. It's remarkable the amount of people I know, and this is why I'm bringing this up, who have done this process.
They're connecting with their listeners.
Yeah. And they've all been saying, oh, yeah, my cat went through that. My cat went through that. We had to do it. It was really tricky. And it was just this incredibly elaborate, weird thing that I've never heard of anyone doing. And the second that I'm starting to do it, I'm like, oh, everyone's done it. And
mm-hmm.
it's just one of these things.
Yeah.
So I just want to say, if your cat out there, you know, has to have this done, don't panic about it. You can do this.
Mm.
And it was really nice because a friend of ours who's a comedian, she works with cats.
Okay.
And she works for a cat show. shelter.
She does cat comedy.
She sometimes does cat comedy as well. She
performs for cats.
I'm sure she does, but that's not where she makes her living. And she's also got a TV series named after her. That's all I'm going to say about her. But she came over as our cat coach. And
there's a show called The Cat Whisperer.
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah.
Pussy Galore, it was called.
Hmm.
And and yeah, she really helped us just by being a really good presence. And the reason I wanted to bring it up was, one, it was so nice, all the people that kind of shared that they've been through it too.
Mm, sure.
And also just the kindness of people was amazing, you know, to us during this.
I can confess now after, you know, sympathizing that I've never actually done it. I was just pretending. Just to make you feel better. I was like, oh, it happened to me too.
Oh, well, okay.
Stabbed myself in the eye with a needle. I had like a long story about that.
Yeah. And my wife is a real needle phobe. So that she's able to do this has been amazing.
It's good for her.
Yeah. And my sister-in-law is not good with needles either. So whenever she's over, it's like, turn your head. Everyone turn their head. And I'm the guy who does the needle.
Well, both of them
shouldn't
go into the forest.
Exactly. So what we're trying to do right now, though, is find a food for the cat that normally you get the low protein food during this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she's not eating it. So we got to find a way of giving her some food that she will eat.
Okay.
That's also right. So that's our little bit of a dilemma.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know it's the last, you know, weeks to months.
Is
and
that
that's,
right?
And that's hard. And we love her. And I know she's lived like a year longer than a cat of her species is standard. And when people are asking like, well, what's wrong with her? Well, what's wrong with her? She's of the age that cats live.
That's
know, it's she has got nothing wrong with her kidneys except
every
that there's 16-year-old kidneys in a cat's body.
For every one of our years, a cat lives 50 years.
Well, that is not at all true.
Okay.
My stars. So that's been taking up a lot of my head
in
for
sure.
Your heart. And
It
was nice actually
it's
today.
Weighing on you.
Our friend, I don't think he'll mind us saying, but our friend David Fine, his cat was thought that they might have cancer, and the cat did not have cancer.
Oh, that's good.
So it was really nice news today, and it was like, it was such a good day to get good cat news.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you're going to kidnap their cat.
Sure, yeah. It's a great cat, actually. I don't want to say the cat's name because maybe you would go kidnap it. It's such a great cat.
I would go kidnap it?
No, it's a quality cat.
I know who that cat is. I don't need to go kidnap it.
That's an excellent cat.
I'm not even that big a fan of cats.
And you've got a cat.
I have a cat who loves me the most in the house.
Aw.
I have no idea why, because I really do not like it. I'm a little allergic to cats.
Me too.
I'm okay with them in the house.
Yeah.
I'm okay with them outside.
Yeah.
I'm actually fine with them outside. I like them outside. And I'm okay with the cat in the house.
You're like, okay with the cat in the house if you're outside.
I'm just less okay with the cat who insists on like laying on my chest when I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
So that I can pet her.
It's usually the dander rather than the fur that's what you're allergic
to. She does
to.
Get my dander up. You're right. That's a big part of it. But also petting her.
And I named this book that I'm doing with Scholastic Graphics.
Yes.
I've named the cats in that book. Which is called Sparks, but it's a story about two cats who pretend to be a dog so they can be heroes.
Okay.
So they both dress up as a dog together.
Yeah.
And those cats are named after our cats, August and Charlie. And
nice.
So that's kind of nice to have that.
And, mm-hmm.
and that book, though, has been delayed now from fall of next year till spring of the following year, which is a bit of a drag.
Wow.
For me.
Yeah.
It's not as big of a drag for the artist, Nina, who now gets more time drawing it, so I'm glad for her.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, word is they got a lot of stuff coming out in the fall, and it would kind of get lost in the mix.
Okay.
So they've said they want to do a big push on it in the spring.
Okay.
Hopefully that's the case. But it's part right now of the big world of waiting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of waiting. Oh Lordy, there's a lot of waiting mm-hmm. going on right now.
So you have a lot of possible projects kind of out there floating around waiting waiting for someone to say, hey, sounds good.
Yeah. My wife has had a TV show greenlit, but we still got to like wait for some contract stuff to come in, which is what we've been waiting for more than a year.
So it's been greenlit.
Well, yeah, but it was greenlit like a year ago, right? So
I didn't know that actually, because last time I heard it was that the company that's involved in a big way with it had taken back the project under some sort of option thing where they get to like...
No, there was an element in the contract that we didn't realize was in the contract, but that was cleared up.
Okay, oh,
and
that's
so
good.
It's still
that's good. Okay,
there was a bidding
passed.
War. They went yes. This is so it's all still go.
Okay,
but
okay.
You know that's
still
all I can
crossing,
really say about it.
As we said last week, still crossing I's.
And dotting.
Dotting T's.
And dotting T's on the rent checks while nothing comes in. Yeah. So what I've been doing, like where this was starting from,
yeah.
was I've been pitching stuff like Let's crazy to everybody. So okay. So it's that feeling of asking a whole bunch of people to dance.
Yeah?
Yeah. And going, well, hello. it's that great feeling.
I've never actually done it. I think I did that once. I filled out my card at my graduation, whatever it's called. What is it called? Grad party?
When you're released from prison?
Let's not talk about that.
You had your dance card filled?
I had my dance card filled. Thank you. No, when you go to when you're graduating and yeah. you go to your commencement ceremony? No, your dinner, like your grad dinner.
Sure.
Grad dinner.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And we had a card where you had to get girls to
By the way,
help you fill it out.
And
you
had grad dances. 85 rules. Okay,
go. No, grad 84, I'm afraid.
Was that right?
Out the door.
That's not what I heard.
In 84.
I heard 85. stay alive.
Stay alive in 85. No did everyone stay alive in 85?
No.
Did you lose someone like the very first year out of grad school?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay.
All I know is
my grade did.
I got on this stupid list that occasionally will write me with who died in my year.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to know?
Not necessarily. Okay. No, it gets to be a bit of a bummer. You know, when it's like, oh, here's a letter from that. Oh boy. Okay.
I kind of like to know.
So you want to be the last one? You want to Highlander this shit?
I'm hoping that, yeah. And then there were none.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for
that. And then you just pick up the sword and you just scream and blue lightning hits you.
That's right. I know that's immortal. I know that's a Highlander reference that I've never seen it, but somehow I know it's a Highlander.
You've never seen the movie?
Nope.
Okay, but let me ask
Here's
you this.
Here's the reason why.
Let me ask you this question. Need you.
Sure.
Have you seen Highlander 2?
No.
Okay, I got one more question for
sure.
you.
Sure.
Have you seen Highlander 3?
No, why would I?
Final question.
Okay.
Have you seen Highlander 4?
Yes.
Well, you're just ruining the rest of the films for yourself. But with the dance thing, what it feels like is like there's so many of these people that I'm pitching, though,
sure.
that I sort of know. Mm. So it feels like asking someone you know to dance. Mm. So I had to do that today and get the old, hey, and the person was being semi-jokey with me.
Oh, okay.
But then a jokey that was like, I don't feel comfortable.
A little hostile?
Yeah, you know, a little this. And then you got
a little passive-aggressive? A little Canadian?
Well, no, it was not. It was very American.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. So it's so I am putting together a bunch of stuff and getting it out there. And it's that feeling of that, yeah, there you go. Okay.
Well, what you need to do...
Tell me.
...is write something that would be as popular as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
And I think that you'd be set.
Okay.
Or, here's another idea, write something that would be as popular as Twilight.
Okay, here's my idea.
Okay.
Vampire Raccoon. Now, what he is he's a space raccoon who's also a vampire.
No, I'm not saying you have to connect the things or that they should be copies of. I'm just saying...
Copies of what?
Well, like Twilight. I don't want you to write Twilight again.
I'm not. What's this got to do with Twilight? It's about a vampire raccoon. There's nothing like that.
Well, it sounds like you've taken a character from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Who?
And the vampires from...
Who's a vampire in Guardians of the Galaxy?
I'm not saying the vampires. I'm just saying you've taken Twilight.
Who's a fucking vampire in Guardians of the Galaxy? There's no vampires in Guardians of the Galaxy.
But there are raccoons in Guardians of the Galaxy. There is a raccoon. There's a raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
No, there's a genetic... Oh, God. There's a genetically altered beast.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, you could technically say he looks... His name's Rocket.
Yeah.
His name isn't Raccoon. And then, in your Twilight, there's no raccoons, except maybe in the woods.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. My thing is listen, you weren't hearing me right. I'm going to say it again.
All right. You say
vampire,
it again.
Vampire. Listen to it. Just listen.
Vampire?
Okay. Just listen.
I got it. Okay.
Vampire raccoon. Okay?
All right.
So he drinks your blood,
sure.
then he washes his hands.
In your blood.
Yeah. Wash his hands in your blood.
Yeah. I like
it's
it.
Very clean.
I like it. Okay. I think you should go off and write that.
Yeah.
I see a new thing.
And his catchphrase is,
okay.
That's what she said.
I like it. I like everything you've done here.
Yeah.
That's great. What is it called?
What's that?
What is it called?
It's called Sly Cooper, the vampire raccoon.
Sly Cooper?
Yeah.
That's something for something else, though, isn't it?
What do you mean?
There's already a character who's a raccoon called Sly Cooper.
In Guardians of the Galaxy? Have you ever seen the fucking movie? What are you talking about?
I obviously don't know what I'm talking about.
No,
don't. I'm sorry.
Listen, that's why I'm doing the pitching.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You'd be a terrible agent. Dave, I don't need this. I've got to go fill a cat up with fluids. It is hump day.
It is not.
Well, it's the day where I give the cat a hump made of liquids in the back. It actually doesn't. That's what
that every day.
That's what actually happens with most cats is they get a little hump on the back. Mine actually it kind of drains underneath already, so it's got good flow, so it's fine.
That's good.
It spreads all the way around.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. This little saline.
I actually, and this is true. When I'm feeling really stressed, I will watch videos of people giving their cats.
Oh, really?
These things, because it's always one, because it's kind of a semi-stressful thing to do a little bit.
Sure.
And so it's nice seeing all these people with very calm cats and the cats are all like they're very happy and they're getting a little treat and everyone's calm and it's very soothing and it just feels like this is normal. This is okay. This is all right. But yeah, I've taken to watching little short videos of that when I need to calm down and
I understand.
It's been nice.
I understand that.
Thanks. You're a nice guy.
I've been told that.
Yeah.
More than once.
By a woman who doesn't want to dance with you.
By a guy in a mirror.
You know who that is? Candyman.
Shouldn't have said his name 3 times.
I didn't. Oh, you just did.
I did. Yeah, okay. It was my mistake. I didn't mean to say it 3 times. I thought I only said it twice, and then once, and then I said it again.
Who do you think would win in a fight? Candyman or Vampire Raccoon?
Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay. Yeah. Follow-up question?
Yes.
What?
What? He sang the song Candyman.
Oh, I was going, Dave, he did not sing Vampire Raccoon. What are you talking about? Did you see, by the way,
food to you,
I don't,
music to me.
I don't know if you ever go to the Sneaky Dragon Facebook page, but I put up
I get a lot of notifications for that page.
I put up a video on there of Sammy Davis Jr.
I saw that, and I thought it was very clever.
Yeah, doing an ad for Japanese ad.
No speaking. It's just him for about an hour.
Yeah.
Making noises with his mouth.
Yeah.
And then it ends.
Making for Suntory whiskey.
That's the only word in the thing. He says, but he says it really fast. He goes like, Suntory.
Yep.
The rest of his system going, but it lasts like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you're like, how long?
Just a minute. It's a minute long. Dave's exaggerating.
How long do you want to watch a guy banging on a bottle and making noises? Like,
apparently,
not that long.
Apparently, no. Back then when you're watching television, that long.
You were okay with a minute. Because a minute... Okay, a minute
back
is,
then.
A minute
was
no,
standard.
But
a
minute
for a minute was standard.
Is that right?
But here's
the thing, though.
Yeah.
You have a minute, and then you have a minute. If you know what I mean, right? Like, okay, a minute having sex, it's nothing.
With Sammy Davis Jr.
Nothing.
Right.
Like a minute, just like that.
And you know he's done when his eye pops out.
Yes. So, you killed yourself.
Yeah.
What? But a minute watching
someone.
By the way,
that joke also works for Sandy Duncan. Continue.
There we go.
I also want to do a joke about that where someone had a glass eye.
Can
I
just say,
look at my glass eye. I got it. It was signed by Sammy Davis. And it was like, wait, this says Sandy Duncan. Oh, man.
I just want to refine what you said by saying that joke doesn't work for either.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed it. The thing about that, you know, the minute, the malleable minute is that, you know, like, so that minute is very fast. But when you're watching someone... rattle their rings on a bottle and go like I could do that if you guys want me to. I could look at my watch, start, and do it for a full minute.
Yeah,
and you tell me how entertaining it is. And admittedly, you don't get to see me doing it.
Challenge you,
yeah,
to do a shot for shot remake of that commercial.
Okay,
that's my challenge to you.
Okay, why? Why is that?
Because because of your claims right now.
Yeah.
You're saying you could do it.
No, but it would be as equally, I wouldn't be as boring though as his.
Oh, you're saying it's boring.
I'm saying his is boring.
Oh, disagree.
It's sunbury.
Guys, okay, here's what I need you all
to
do.
That was funnier than the iPod.
Here's what I need you all to do. I need you all to go to the Sneaky Dragon Facebook page, not the web page, not sneakydragon.com.
Okay.
Go to Sneaky Dragon web, the Facebook page.
Sneaky Dragon. Facebook page.
Check out this Sammy Davis.
It sounds like the oldest man in the world telling us instructions for the internet.
Right. Sammy Davis Jr. /Facebook/. and look at the Sammy Davis Jr. clip. You tell me if it's dull or not.
It's dull.
Or if old Johnny Cheese and Rockford Files just can't take the new shit.
From the 1970s.
Yeah.
It's just too long.
It might be 60s too. It might be very late
60s. Oh, okay. It's just so long. It goes on and on forever.
It's a minute.
It should be
a minute of Sammy Davis Jr. Scatting.
Should be 15 seconds.
No! You would never have no impact.
Yeah, it should be the half a minute of the most.
Sammy Davis Jr. saved on shirts, like saved on buttons by only using half of them at all times.
Oh, man, that guy did not
ever button a shirt all the way up.
Yeah. There were some people who didn't. There are other people who did. So if you go back to like 1970s looking people, mm-hmm. you'll find people that are wearing like the mostly button up shirt with maybe a turtleneck.
Okay.
Then you got the other guy who's like undone buttons all the way down to his belly button.
Yeah.
With some gold chain.
Sure.
Some metal medallions or whatever. Yeah. Just add a little
break
bit.
Break it up, make it classy.
Yeah, make it classy. Exactly. And then, you know, then you kind of, there's like in between there, you know, your normal like t-shirt kind of right. stuff and thing. But, you know, that was your wide variety. Like, I don't want to tarnish a whole decade because of chest, you know, open chest, Bruno Gerussi's medallion kind of stuff.
Okay.
But it did happen. But, yeah. you know, it's like, it was like, you know, it's kind of like, last show we talked about Stranger Things a little bit. I just want to bring up one more thing I liked about that show. And I think I maybe talked about it before.
But before you do, let me just wrap up this whole idea.
No, I don't think we need to talk about it anymore.
Let me wrap up this thing about half-open shirts.
I think we've covered enough.
It was a glorious time to be a tick. You had so much more room to just like attach to somebody.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes.
Wouldn't you have been
more
noticeable though? Wouldn't you be more noticeable? Like, it would have been better to be able to fall into someone's collar.
Yeah, maybe.
Get down into like where the shirt is, and then you like burrow on in.
Also, it's a lot of work like for a mosquito to get through all that chest hair for the most part. Yeah. Sammy Davis Jr., not as much, but yeah. All right. Please continue with your Stranger Things.
Well, just the fact that they got the fashion so right, like how yes. like so how terrible fashions were then. Like, people, when you watch like an 80s revival thing, it's always like some kind of dream world of the 80s, like a 13-year-old girl's version of the 80s. So everything's pink and neon green, and everyone's wearing sunglasses and have their hair in a ponytail with leg warmers and blah, blah, blah. Stuff that you really didn't see very much, you know, maybe a little bit, but not that much. Like, you didn't see people walking around wearing leg warmers when I was a kid, when I was growing up.
Teenager, late teens, yes.
But not that often, right? Like, it wasn't like a regular thing.
Okay.
You'd see me one person who tried it out.
I knew dancers, so.
Okay,
yeah.
But that's, you know, being dancers. That's a different.
I knew dancers.
That's an ailment. Let's bring that up. That's just something. That's their own problem.
All right.
Them and their jazzercise.
Okay. Hey, but I'm just saying, them were Steel Town Girls on a Saturday night looking for the fight of their lives.
Okay.
All right. You got to respect that.
I respect it. I do. I honestly do. I'm just.
No, they all said they were crazy.
I respect them and I'm discounting them.
All right.
At the same time.
Yeah, you were more of a Footloose guy back then.
Of course. Footloose. That song, I don't know the words to.
You would kick off your Sunday shoes.
Exactly.
All right.
Man, that song. Okay, let me just. While you brought it up, I just want to say one thing about that song.
I wonder if Bruno Gerussi on the Beachcombers ever did any Kenny Loggins.
If you were doing a movie for kids,
would you
write a movie for kids? Let's say, or are you directing a movie for kids?
Okay,
and you're like,
I've
we
never directed.
We need a song for this movie.
Okay,
this movie about rebellious teens.
Okay,
acting out against the repressive.
School's
parents.
Out for summer. School's out for summer.
You're thinking Alice Cooper?
Yeah.
But you need a dance. You want a song that kids can dance to. You need an original song.
Okay.
We don't want to go.
Oh, I'm writing an original song.
We want an original song. What are we going to do? Are we going to hire someone from those kids' generation to write this song about breaking out and expressing themselves? Or are we going to get some fucking old guy from the 1960s to write a song for us that sounds like a bunch of horrible yacht rock that these kids are already rejecting from the 70s?
Who are we talking about? Are we talking
about Kenny Loggins? He's an old guy.
Dave.
In 1980.
Dave, you're getting very close to the danger zone here.
How?
Very close to the danger zone.
1982? Is that like Footloose? 82?
82. No. I'd go 84, I would say.
84? Oh, okay, whatever.
I'm gonna say 84.
It's around in that ballpark.
What are you guys all guessing out there? Let David rant while I look it up.
Kenny Loggins was already like an old guy by that point, and here he's writing the rebel song for this movie about kids bursting the seams of puritanical religiosity and expressing themselves by dancing, and you get some 40-year-old guy with a horrible beard, and that song probably has a horrible saxophone in it. I haven't listened to it for a while.
1984, everybody.
1984, there you go. And
you know what movie also came out in 1984?
1984.
Yep. sex, crime.
Yeah.
Sex, crime.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This is a crime. Like, don't you think that's weird? So you're making a movie. Let's be like, okay,
It worked.
Picture this.
It worked, folks.
Picture this.
Let the record show it worked.
Picture this.
Okay.
You're making a movie. It's called The Wild Angels. It's about a motorcycle gang. And it's full of a bunch of young actors.
What year are we
this
at?
Is 1968. Okay. Maybe 67.
Well,
you're making this movie.
We're excited about the moon landing.
It's got
we're excited about the moon landing coming
up. It's got a bunch of...
I was just born that year. Everyone's excited about that.
You're Canada's excited.
Going through its centennial.
Everyone, yeah, these motorcycle gang are really excited about Ian Boothby being
born.
And
they're really excited about the centennial in Montreal's
having the World's Fair. And so It's all they're all a buzz about it, and they're having fun. And so, for this film, for this film about these rebels fighting against the repressive culture
during
of their parents, during this time when, man, you could get drafted and die in Vietnam, man.
Right.
We got to fight. Fight the power.
Okay.
So they get Bing Crosby to do the music for it. Does that make sense? It's the same thing. Maybe Bing was a little older, but it's the same thing.
Bing Crosby didn't really write the songs, did he?
No.
Oh, there we go.
But get him to sing it. Get a song and get him to sing it.
The Rebel Angels.
I like it.
Those rebellious teens on their motorbikes riding down the road.
Yeah, like that would be, that's the equivalent
Wild. That's wild stuff.
And so let the record show. Yes, show.
Are you saying they're riding down the road? So you're saying this is on the road movie?
This is,
Bing Crosby would be perfect for that. Argument is annulled. Yeah, who else can get for an on the road movie than Bing Crosby?
But when they made the films like that, they got horrible bands from that time period to add their crummy, distorted guitar sound to kind of banal garage rock of the time.
What are you going to do for Footloose? Are you going to go
Footloose?
Tears for Fears? What are you going to get? You're going to get the Pretenders? You're going to get the Eurythmics? What are you going to get? Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
That would be
good. What you going to get? You going to get Duran Duran?
That would be really good.
What you going to get? What you going to get? The Clash? What are you going to get?
Clash wouldn't work, but Duran Duran, they're commercial.
Duran Duran.
They could do a song. They could do a song about...
What are they going to do? Like Girls on Film or something? What are they going to dance to?
But they can make their own song. Those songs are dance songs. And they could write a new song called Footloose for the movie Footloose. They didn't have to hire the 90-year-old man with a horrible coiffured beard to write this stinging song. And also he has a horrible voice. As you said, let the record show.
Let the record show
that rebellious teens in 1984 not only were okay having their revolution spoon-fed to them on the Coke spoon of the 70s yacht rockers, but bought it in droves. That's what a bunch of mindless fucks we were, that we went for that drivel and we were okay with it. That doesn't say much for our generation.
We were also very
excited about
the 80s? About Ghostbusters.
You know what I say about the 80s?
That year. We're very excited about that Ghostbusters.
And I watched it a while ago. It's not that great. You know what I say about the 80s? We were dumb.
Everyone was dumb.
We were just dumb.
Everyone was.
We were perfectly
willing. When were they
willing.
Not dumb? When's the not willing. Dumb era?
You know, it's like...
Who's not dumb?
They could have... You know, it would be no different than if they had like Steely Dan do a song for that movie.
Okay, but here's...
And we're all excited that it's some sort of, you know,
here's the
late
thing,
70s AOR version.
So what band
are
you thinking? You're thinking like a Duran Duran?
I don't care who it was.
No, let me
just someone who is of the generation.
Let me give you a problem.
There's
you
no problem.
Like an Adam and the Ants or something.
That'd be
such?
Good, sure.
No, wouldn't. Let me tell you
why. Why not?
Because I'll tell you why.
Why? You don't like the Burundi beat?
Gotta listen to me. Gotta listen to me and I'll give you the answers, my friend.
I'm going to sit back and not say a word.
The story of Footloose.
Besides make exclamations of outrage.
The story of Footloose is the story of a boy
Kevin
coming
Bacon.
From not quite the city.
Yeah.
But from outside of the hick town.
Okay.
It's going to a hick town.
Yeah.
Now, a hick town.
Sure.
That's like, you know, he's got a...
Run by John Lithgow.
That's right. He does a game of chicken with tractors. That's how hick this town is.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Which he wins by getting his foot stuck, and while holding on for a hero plays.
We don't need every part of the movie. Just
well,
go
I'm
just
on. Going
with
like,
give me a
going
general.
Like,
give
no,
me a
when
general
the music
thing.
Holding on for a hero is playing, and the plot that we're seeing is your foot.
Who's
stuck,
saying holding on for a hero?
That Bonnie Tyler is singing.
Oh my God.
Okay. So, someone does not like Total Eclipse of the Heart.
I do not.
All right.
Although that's a Jim Steinman song, so I'm willing to give it a little bit of just for because he's so crazy with his operatic song.
So he's got to turn this town around, get their feet on the ground. Sorry.
Okay.
So he's got to turn this town around and get them dancing.
Yeah.
Now, you cannot take the hickest town there is and go, here's a little Duran Duran. Or you're getting the shit knocked out.
Okay, well, let me just say it like
this,
then.
You got to play some...
How about... How about...
Because the young versions of the Duck Dynasty guys are going to take you and throw you in the swamp and you're never coming out.
The Duck Dynasty guys aren't
there. So it's a hick song. Like, Footloose is a very hick...
But it shouldn't be hick. It shouldn't be hick. Because he's not a hick.
If you slow it down a little bit...
He's bringing the stuff in.
You could... Nah, he's kind of hick.
He's causing the revolution.
Have you seen his hair? He's kind of hick.
No, he's not hick. He's hip. He's hip at the time. Sure, he's hick now. But then he was, like, on the cutting edge of... Skinny tie-ness
and
hair.
He wasn't. He
doing
wasn't
something.
Coming in. He wasn't Ducky showing up. You know, he wasn't John Cryer showing up from Pretty and Whatever's
16 Candles.
16 pretty candles.
Isn't Ducky from 16 Candles?
Sure, I don't know.
I don't know either. I've never seen those films.
I think Pretty in Pink.
But here's
actually.
The thing, Pretty in Pink.
If Ducky showed up in that town, he'd last 3 seconds, and then you'd never find his body. So you needed Hick, sort of Hick. Kevin Bacon shows up, and he plays a sort of Hick song, uh-huh. and is sort of Hickish, nah. but he can also do gymnastics.
You're not going to convince me.
Okay, that's fair.
It's just ridiculous to me that a song about rebellion featured music from...
I don't even know if it's about rebellion.
Yes, it is. It's about breaking the chains that your parents have you bound in.
Wow, you're reading a lot into this.
Well, I'm just saying what the movie's about.
Let's dance.
But it's against the law in that town to dance.
Right, so he's...
Agreed?
Dance,
yeah. We agree.
Yeah, but you're
so
not
breaking
the bounds
law.
Of...
He's breaking the law.
I will admit.
He's breaking the law.
You know what?
Breaking
I don't even think
law.
He's breaking the law.
I
guess it is the law.
They should have had Wasp. Is that Wasp you did that song, Breaking the Law? That's
possibly.
What the song. That's
look, it was remade in, I think, 2011. If you want to see that version, maybe that'll make you happier.
Hmm.
Footloose.
I thought it was the one that... shit. I can't remember the actor's name. Damn it. Daniel Day-Lewis. My Loose Foot. I thought that was a really...
Wrap up the show, Dave.
Everyone, thank you for listening to our dumb show. We always appreciate your comments and your compliments and also your critiques. We appreciate those, although we don't pay attention. You can
stop me from doing my foot goose joke, so that's lucky.
You can still do it.
Canadian
there's still time.
Version. It's no, I'm done.
Okay. All right, you just said it.
Gotta get loose.
Foot goose. Everybody get foot goose.
Turn its liver into moose.
That's good. I like it. I don't like that song, though. That song is like listening to Bob Seger.
Uh-huh.
Take those old records off the shelf.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But that's terrible, but because you're living in someone else's nostalgia.
No, the problem. Yeah, the
it's
problem
the
with that
problem.
Song is it's a song about old timey rock and roll. Yeah, it isn't an old timey rock and roll song.
But it's not just that. It's spoon yeah. feed. It's feeding you.
It's also it's the same
feeding
thing
you
with,
the pablum yeah. of someone else's nostalgia.
It's like Billy Joel's.
Terrible.
It's still rock and roll to me. Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah,
nonsense.
More garbage. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I would put Jingle Bell Rock into that fucking category.
No, I like Jingle Bell Rock because that song is from the time period. It's not new. It's old.
Okay.
I would put Crocodile Rock into that though. The Elton John song.
Interesting. Okay.
That song is equally anodyne and not that interesting.
I would put the wrestler The Rock into this as well.
Damn it! Let's put him in there too.
Yeah.
Someone has to pay for San Andreas.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the movie's called, right?
Yeah.
The movie about the girl?
Yeah, it was his fault.
Okay. St. Andrew. What? What do you...
San Andreas.
Okay.
It's his fault.
All right, everyone. Once again, you
can
write to us.
Can you smell what we're cooking?
P-U. Something with chevre.
Dwayne
goat cheese.
The show.
I don't like it. If you have comments... If you have things to say, you can write to us on our website, sneakydragon.com. We have our message boards there. You can email us at sneakydragon or at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. We have a Twitter account. It's @sneaky_dragon. And also we have a Facebook page, which features a very long, possibly 4-hour long commercial featuring Sammy Davis Jr., which is Sneaky Dragon. It's just called Sneaky Dragon. You can go there. You can find
stuff.
Yeah, see
if you find that boring or not.
Yeah, watch it and agree with me that it's about an hour long.
Could I also say, listen, folks,
mm-hmm.
aside from sending us questions and answers, which is nice, just because what the heck, if you've got a cat or a dog, send us your picture of your cat or your dog.
Yeah, we've
not
done that
on
for a while.
Yet.
Yeah, we'll put them up. We'll put them up. And yeah, I love when people do
but
that.
But no fucking birds.
Why not?
Okay.
Birds are fine. And any other animal
especially
you have.
Especially if they're a foot goose.
Doesn't have to be cat and dog. It'd be your pet. Your
yeah,
pet.
Don't take pictures of strangers' animals.
You can do that too.
Oh, okay. Then good.
Why not? I want to see pictures of dogs and other things. If you have a wombat, I'd be really interested in your pictures. I would. Or a sloth.
All right.
If you have a sloth doing cute things, please videotape it and send that to us.
All right.
Because that would be great.
Would you like pictures of the old comic strip Wombat? The R. Phil Brandt comic strip Wombat?
No.
Okay. Good to know.
I think
hey,
I've said everything
the,
I
we,
need
we
to
We can
say.
Go to the aquarium together sometime. I'll show you. They got two slots there.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
There's two? I thought there was just one.
That's what they want you to think.
Oh, clever those sloths. Everyone, thank you for listening to the show this week. We really appreciate it. And those of you who wait 2 weeks so you can listen to them back to back.
Why?
I think that's crazy, but great. I like the fact that you've
somehow...
Why
did you do that?
That's what someone wrote and said that on our comment board, I believe.
Oh,
or maybe
it's the, however you want.
Maybe it was on Facebook. But they wrote, and I wish I could remember who wrote now. Sorry, I can't remember. But yeah, they said that they said, does anyone else... stock up the shows and listen to them two in a row. So I guess they figure that we are thematic when we do the show in the same evening. I don't know.
So I think the show is totally different than the last show.
If you decide to do that, what I'm going to ask you to do is this. So you're listening to those two back-to-back. When you've listened to the first one, please take it. Go to GarageBand with it. I will give you permission to edit it.
Sure.
And make a previously on Sneaky Dragon thing with the highlights.
Yeah.
So you can listen to that right before you listen to the next
one. Okay. And you can use the Law & Order music.
Sure.
So, isn't that what they do? No, they don't do that.
Because they're not a serial situation.
No, I think you're wrong. I think they do do that. They say previously on Law & Order.
Chun chun.
Dave just watched Rockford Files while eating a big block of cheese.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show this week. We'll see you next week. Bye.
For more Rockford Talk.
I do like that show.
Yep, me too.